The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. About Zion, I will not be silent. About Jerusalem, I will not grow weary, until her integrity shines out like the dawn, and her salvation flames like a torch. The nations then will see your integrity, all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, one which the mouth of the Lord will confirm. You are to be a crown of splendor in the hand of the Lord, a princely diadem in the hand of your God. No longer are you to be named forsaken, nor your land abandoned, but you shall be called my delight, and your land the wedded. For the Lord takes delight in you, and your land will have its wedding. Like young man marrying a virgin, so will the one who built you wed you. And as the bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so will your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
From the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. There is a variety of gifts, but always the same Spirit. There are all sorts of service to be done, but always to the same Lord, working in all sorts of different ways in different people. It is the same God who is working in all of them. The particular way in which the Spirit is given to each person is for a good purpose. One may have the gift of preaching with wisdom given him by the Spirit. Another may have the gift of preaching instruction given him by the same Spirit. And another the gift of faith given by the same Spirit. Another again the gift of healing. Through this one Spirit, one the power of miracles, another prophecy, another gift of recognizing spirits, another the gift of tongues, and another the ability to interpret them. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, who distributes different gifts to different people just as he chooses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited. When they ran out of wine, since the wine provided for the wedding was all finished, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Why turn to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars standing there, meant for the ablutions that are customary among the Jews. Each could hold 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. "Draw some out now," he told them, "and take it to the steward." They did this. The steward tasted the water, and it had turned into wine. Having no idea where it came from, only the servants who drew the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "People generally serve the best wine first and keep the cheaper sort till his guests have had plenty to drink. But you have kept the best wine till now." This was the first of the signs given by Jesus. It was given at Cana in Galilee. He let his glory be seen, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to be, O Lord Jesus Christ.
I see you all sitting there in anticipation. In the same way as you're anticipating Christmas. And do you realize there's only 342 days to wait? Well, it's over. Christmas has come and gone. And I suppose we're back to normal. Boring, isn't it? Nothing to cheer us up. Even the church says it's only the second Sunday of ordinary time. Where's the spark? Even our New Year's resolutions are beginning to strain already, if you've made them. It'd be a fair bet to say that all of us here, the older ones amongst us, can go back and remember how the faith was given to us. Probably with fear. The old priest or the nun who looked a bit like a witch in this habit used to tell us the condemnation we face if we commit sins. Guilt was sewn into the fabric of the Catholic Church in a way. But all of a sudden, we're back to the normality. But yet there's something ahead, a party, a banquet that's going to cheer us up. It's that strange feeling of normality, yet look what's going to happen today. And if you go back to the first communion days, remember how you all dressed up like a bride and a groom, looking forward in anticipation, not only to receiving Jesus, but the breakfast banquet afterwards, That was the real thing that had your interest. Saint Irenaeus of Lyon taught Gloria Dei Vivens Homino, which stands for to glory to God. And he loves men fulfilled in joy. It's a very wide interpretation of what he was saying. God loves us to be happy. He loves us with smiles on our faces. And certainly, as a Christian, that's what we should have. And so many times in the past, we've left church with gloom on our faces, condemnation. That negativity of the past, hopefully we are shrugging off. The Pope has asked us to give him ideas of where the church is going in synodality. And the one place we should be going is with joy. Joy and happiness to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The negativity that we're often taught about, we are the church, the rest don't matter. It's not about that. It's about everyone matters. And next week begins Christian Unity Week. And it's about bringing everyone together as a group, whether you're Anglican, Methodist, Catholic, or many others across the nation and the world. It's about bringing us together to share God's happiness, where we share what we believe in together, not the small disagreements we have in the background. Remember, going back to First Communion, we're taught every time we receive Jesus in communion, it's like a banquet. We have a banquet to go to. And when we leave a banquet, usually we're full of joy and happiness. So we're looking this week at a service of Christian Unity on Wednesday, where we've invited other denominations to come and share prayer with us. It's about reaching out to others, sharing love, joy and happiness. When a couple gets married, they make a legal commitment that they will share their love, joy, happiness, and sad times and difficult times together. They will share and come through those difficult times. So as we go into the week of Christian Unity, we should remember that when we leave here today, after having had the banquet of the Lord, we live here with joyous hearts and share that joy and love with everyone we meet, everyone we share a conversation with, everyone who may be having a difficult time, even just putting an arm around them, giving them a hug. If we can do that, we've made the first step towards Christian unity, because we're showing our love in Christ. So I ask you now, A, to support Wednesday evening service, 7 o'clock. come and share our faith with people of like-minded faith, even though they might not be Catholic, they could be Anglican, Methodists, anyone. Come and share and show them that we too can reach out and hold them in our arms. And let us commit ourselves, as I said at the beginning, to walk this year with Christ in unity.